friends, welcome to the Catholic Dad Show. My name's Chris Bartlett.
And I'm Matt Rice, and we're just a couple of Catholic dads trying to do the best we can to raise our kids and sharing what we learned along the way with you guys.
We believe that Catholic fatherhood can and is changing the world. So let's dive in. Hey, Matt, what are we talking about today?
Today, we're talking about how to get your kids whatever that next sacrament is. So this is for the dad who may or may not be going to church regularly, may not know exactly, you know, what the first step is to get their kids, you know, into the sacraments. And like, honestly, you may have like gone through confirmation yourself and be like, and I'm going to say technically Catholic, you know, be Catholic, but not having been to Mass in a while. And like, okay, well, what do I do? I want my kids to be baptized. You know, what do I do?
Figuring things out as a dad, it's like it's your job. Your spouse might say, "Hey, you figure out how to get him into sports," and then you're Googling like how to get my kid into soccer. You've got to figure these things out. We want to make that process easy, so we want to give you a step by step process. So
for sure,
the cool thing is you are in a parish boundary. So a parish
somewhere,
has like,
no matter where you are.
Yeah, you are in a parish boundary, so you've got what it takes to get your kid squared away. There is a parish that is canonically obligated, responsible for the formation, the sacramental formation of your child. So this is good. So you can partner with that parish to be able to get your kids sacraments. First thing you need to do is, if they're not baptized, start there. So go to the parish, and chances are you might have to register at the parish if you're not already registered, and just talk to whoever is at the parish, email or call them ahead of time, because some parishes have weird parish hours. And
so,
ask them,
like, yeah. Like, I'm thinking, like, so how many of you guys had that, like, silly, like, assignment in English class, like, tell an alien how to make, a peanut butter and jelly sandwich? Well, we haven't really started at that level, because Chris just said, go to the church. It's like, well, when do you go to the church? Like, after I get off work? Probably not, because they're going to be closed. Well, most of them are, Chris. Yes. Like, I'm sorry, most of them are going to be closed.
Yes.
If you want to increase your chances of actually talking to a human at the parish, you're going to want to do that Monday through Friday, more than likely between 9 and 4, 9 and 5. And there may even be some churches that are closed on Mondays or closed on Fridays.
These small farm town parishes, it's like Tuesday and Thursday from 9 to 1 p.m. Yeah. That's when they're open.
Yeah.
And I think that's okay. But this is where Google is helpful. And sometimes in those parishes, they don't have good websites.
Yeah, so sometimes Google's not helpful.
Google the number and call, and they'll have this really long message because no one's there. And it's like, our parish hours are, you know. And then they'll say something about a holy day of obligation when Mass is that happened 3 months ago because they haven't updated the recording. And that's it is what it is in certain areas.
A phone call before you go is probably the best way to guarantee that you're going to get there during, you know, business hours. But I mean, take the risk. You can go up there probably I don't know, in off hours, and it'll show office hours on their door, but not every church shows that. So anyway, find out when they're open. Go when they're open. That's step one.
Yes. The other pathway forward, aside from the Googles, is when you go to Mass on Sunday or Saturday evening, Father usually stands in the back and shakes people's hands. Just say, hey, Father, we'd like to get our kid baptized, or we'd like to get our kid First Holy Communion, or we'd like to get our kid the sacrament of confirmation. What's our next step? And Father will probably tell you, oh, talk to Nancy. She's blah, 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 blah. This is how you get a hold of her, and he'll hand you a bulletin, and you'll be good to go as well. So the smaller the parish, the more personalized your experience will be, which I think is actually kind of cool.
Yeah.
But that's step one, is go up there and see, you know, what do you need? We need you to register with the parish. Okay, fill out a little form. There's nothing scary about that. Next, we need you to get them signed up for religious education or faith formation. Awesome. Well, what do they do? Well, typically first Holy Communion prep, right? Sacramental prep is in second grade, and I know that your daughter is in fourth grade. So here's the class that we have, so that she's not sitting with a bunch of second graders. We're gonna do this. Some parishes might say, you do this workbook and then you meet with me. There's a lot of different ways that they have, but the parish is the one that forms for sacraments, and they partner with parents to do so. But typically it's a year long process of classes and some parent classes, a lot of student classes, and different activities or days of reflection along the way.
Yeah, be prepared, you know, for, you know, a longer, like, time of formation than you might have anticipated. Because sometimes you think, oh, well, I did this when I was a kid, you know, and we're Catholic. Oh, we just go up there and sign a piece of paper and boom, we can do First Communion. And that's not, you know, that's not the way it is. And there's a reason for that. And that may be worth diving into a little bit here, you know.
Please. Is,
you know, and Chris, add to it, you know, but the, like, these sacraments are a big deal, you know, in the church. And I know my formation when I was growing up was not very good, you know, and so my ability to pass that on to my kids without further study outside of what I was given was not good. Like, I didn't have a lot to give my kids because of the lack of my formation. But when I went through the process and learned alongside my kids and got to see, you know, what all was involved and what all the sacraments were about, my faith grew. And so the ability for the church to actually teach what it is we receive, it just shows how important it is what we're receiving.
Right. And but it's weird because when it's like, go sign your kid up for softball or for a t-ball or soccer, you go up to the municipal center or the little sports complex, you fill out a form, and like 2 weeks later, they send you an email to say, hey, your kid's on this team. Done. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like a 2 week period. This one could be, it could take more than a year, depending on when. If it's like, well, actually, First Holy Communion is taking place in 3 weeks, so our next class doesn't start until the fall, and then you'll be able to get it in the next spring. And you're just like, oh my goodness, like this is going to be a 14-month process. But hang in there. Like the church wants to dispense, she exists to dispense the sacraments, not withhold the sacraments, but she has to do so responsibly. So good. So once you get them squared away, there's a couple other logistical things that you might need a heads up on. And so for sacraments, except for baptism, for all the other sacraments, they're going to need a copy of your child's baptismal certificate. If it's confirmation or something like that, they're going to ask for those. You can actually contact the parish that your child was baptized at and say, could you send me a copy of the sacramental record? So this is kind of cool. Like, all your data is at one place. So wherever you were baptized, as long as it was a Catholic church, or wherever you came into the Catholic church, that is where all your data is held. And so mine is St. Francis Cabrini Catholic Church in Littleton, Colorado. And when I got married, I reached out to them. I said, hey, I need all my sacramental records so that I can show to them that I've received baptism and confirmation. And they, why, you're getting married? Oh, goodness sakes. And then they sent me the thing, and it came in the mail about a week later, which is really cool. It had my baptismal certificate on the front, and on the back, it mentioned every other sacrament that I received and when it took place. So
it's cool because, like, and Chris, you may have been about to say this, but wherever you were baptized, that's the church that is going to hold all of your records for the rest of your life.
Right.
Even if you're baptized in one church and confirmed in another, the church you were confirmed in sends that information to the church you were baptized in. And so all of it is there. You don't have to track down, like, all the different churches that you've received the sacraments in. They're all there. And like, and that's actually pretty cool. And that's organizationally, it's brilliant, you know, but it's also kind of a pain, I'm sure, for the people who hold the records. And then, like, for me, like, I think I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure that the original church that I was baptized in closed, you know, and so then those sacramental records moved to another church.
Yes.
who canonically took on, you know, that the ownership of those records. And that makes it a little harder to figure it out sometimes. It's like, well, where did that go? But the diocese knows that exactly.
Yeah, so there's a diocese. The most unique diocese that I am aware of is the Archdiocese of the Military. And so every military base has a chapel, and any sacraments that take place in a Catholic context get held at the Archdiocese of the Military. And I'm just like, it wasn't the church, it was the base, it was the base shared faith facility and all these different things. So if it's that, it might take a little bit more hunting. But here's the deal. Once you have that, scan it, make a digital copy of it, just keep it somewhere. ours is in the file folder for each of the kids that have their health records, their social security card, their first teeth. I don't know if you guys keep teeth. It's a weird, whatever. Okay, moving on. Another thing that they're going to ask, and I think this is completely reasonable, is that there's regular participation in Sunday Mass. And so as you're going through to prepare your child for a sacrament, it is super helpful for them to be involved in the faith community that they are confirming their faith in if it's confirmation, or that they will be receiving First Holy Communion in, so that they can see the liturgy, they can see, they can go up and receive a blessing and start to build that hunger, that excitement, that anticipation to receive First Holy Communion. And so if you're not participating regularly in Sunday Mass, dive in and find a Mass that works for you, and then find a family that looks like yours and ask them to donuts after Mass. Get to know them. That way you have a community that's journeying with you and your child. This is super helpful, especially for the Sacrament of Confirmation, because in the Sacrament of Confirmation, your child is going to have to find someone to be their sponsor. And for their sponsor, you want someone that's active in their faith as well. And if they're in the parish, that's just a bonus. Oftentimes, the baptismal sponsor can be the confirmation sponsor, and that's really cool. Sometimes that's not possible. And so someone that they can journey with, or someone that will journey with them, is always good to look for.
This is this may be controversial, I don't know, but I would recommend against giving people, I don't know, a role in your child's sacraments based on, like, as an honor to them. Like, don't ask someone to be the godparent of your child just to honor that person, like your grandma, your aunt, your uncle, whatever. And the same thing as far as sponsors for confirmation, don't do it just to honor them because, you know, we've had all the other uncles do it, so we need to have this uncle do it. It's like, don't do that. You know, because you're like, this is someone who is meant to pour into the faith of your child, you know, and to be responsible to a certain sense, you know, in the like upbringing of your child in the faith. And so you want to make sure you pick someone and help them find someone that's going to make a difference on that level, not just be, you know, a cool title that, you know, your uncle or nephew gets to use, you know, whatever. So does that make sense?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. One of the roles of a sponsor or a godparent is to pray for the person that they're sponsoring or godparenting, right? So it has to be a person of prayer. Like, they have to pray. They have to have a prayer life. Yep. So if you go to Mass and they join you and they don't know when to stand, sit, and kneel, they're ineligible. You need someone who knows the faith, because one of the roles is to share the faith. And one of the best ways to share the faith is to show the faith. Right. And so this is such a good point. Pick someone who's going to help get your child to heaven, because really nothing else matters. Oh, but they're really good. And they helped them in T-ball, or they were with us when we were dating. It was really fun. And we said, we'll be each other's godparents, the kid's godparents or whatever. But like, he's dealing drugs. Like, your child is going to model their godparent, or should be able to model their godparent, and you'd be proud of them. Yeah. And if that makes you nervous, it's like, yeah, he hits the bottle a lot, or he watches a lot of horrible movies, or he uses the F word a lot. It's like, well, if that's your child's sponsor, or that's your child godparent, you want to say, I want my child to be like this. Like, you're literally saying it on a sacramental level.
And your child is going to say, this is the person you picked for me. Like, what is it about them? You know, like if they were baptized as an infant, you know, and you're like, what is it about them? And you like, honestly, like, people's lives change, you know, and it's completely understandable. Like, if they were great and they were amazing, they were a good influence when they were baptized, you know, but now they're not, you know. I'm pretty sure, like, they're still amazing, beautiful, great people, but they're not in the church anymore. You know, one of my kids, you know, godparents, you know, aren't in the church anymore, you know, and so, but they were. And they were beautiful, and they were devout, and they were amazing volunteers, you know, at the beginning. And so I get to tell my child about that. You know, this is why I picked them,
right?
You know, but they're no longer in the church, so I'm sorry. Like, you don't have, like, Catholic godparents anymore.
Are you still in touch with your godparents, Matt?
I think my godparents have passed on.
Okay. So you weren't in close touch.
Well, yeah, I mean,
you think, you loosely,
I'm,
think,
I'm not even sure who they are. Not. Like, I'm not even sure who they are, but I think I know who they are, and I think they're passed on.
Twice. After my baptism, I met them twice.
Wow.
Yeah. And that's it. And so when it was time for me to choose a confirmation sponsor, they were like, you should consider your baptismal, you know, sponsors. And I'm like, Mom and Dad, who are they? And they're like, good question. We don't keep in touch with them anymore. I'm like, then I'm not going to choose that person. And instead, I chose someone who led a retreat when I was in eighth grade, who was my small group leader. And it was awesome. Like, this person prayed for me, you know? And so thank you, Dana. Hi. So,
and that's the beautiful thing, like, of my kids is, like, having not grown up with involved godparents, it's interesting to me to see godparents that are involved. You know, they want to get, you know, an Advent, you know, calendar for, you know, their godchild, which is my kid. And they do different things with their godchild. And it's like, well, that's really cool. You know, I never saw that before. I never had that, you know, but
yeah.
So that's just something that can help bolster your kid's faith. And it gives them another person, you know, in the faith that they can rely on. And they need that, you know, long term.
I am not, I'll be honest, I'm not the best godparent for there's like six or eight, how good are you? Well, I have like six or eight kids that I'm the godparent for. I'm not that good at like showing up to their soccer games or, you know, all those different things. But I pray for them every single day.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And so, yeah. And it's easy because then you just bundle them. You're like, I pray for all my godchildren. Whoop. There you go. You know, you just bundle it. But I do. I pray for them every single day. And so, and I think that's what's most essential. So find a person of prayer. Go to Mass. Let's see. What else? There's going to be some parent classes that come along and different things like that. Yes.
Oh, no. I wanted to go back a step because you mentioned find a friend. You know, find a family, find a friend that you can connect with.
Yes.
And I wanted to like touch on this a little bit. And I don't know if we've had an episode here or if we've talked about it in a previous podcast, MLA or not, but the how to make a friend, how to actually like make community. It was here, right? Like, so search like YouTube, like our channel for how to make friend, how to build community. Right, Chris?
I mean, I believe you. I guarantee we didn't title it how to make a friend.
I mean, it was building your community, I'm sure, you know, okay, but you said something like ask them to donuts, and like, that's hard to do. And so I want to acknowledge that, like, that process of finding someone in the church, that you can be friends with is hard. Like, especially if you don't have church friends up to this point, your life is full of people that are not church people.
Yeah.
You know, and you've got like friends with soccer, friends with volleyball, you know, friends with all these other things. And friends from work that may fill up, you know, your life already. And so how do you add in another group and why do you add in another group? And I think that why may be important for us to touch on a little bit. And it may go along with what we were just talking about with regards to sponsors and godparents. But like you want to have people of faith, people who are in that faith that you're placing importance in now in your life and in the life of your family to help, I don't know, to help you guys stay in it and stay with it. Does that make sense?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And so, and it doesn't, I did mention a family that looks similar to yours, you know, a state of life and things like that. It'd be great for when you go out to breakfast and the kids are able to play with each other. That's awesome. But here's another like way to check if this is someone that we want in our child's life or whatever. If you've ever been at Mass and you've had your kid playing with a car and they let go of it and it just starts rolling down in front of the pew in front of you, and the person there picks it up, smiles, and hands it back to your child like this, versus they pick it up, scowl, and hand it back to the parent. Like, how dare you? This happens with all sorts of things. Crayons end up rolling down, colored pencils, you know, sometimes little bouncy balls. Why? Because kids have weird things in their pockets all the time. And if they turn around and their face lights up while they hand it back to your child and they're helpful, that's great. That might be someone, it's like that person's like in their 70s. Great. Hey, you want to come hang out with our family a little bit? And it's like, yeah, your kids look amazing. Tell me more about your life. Versus they should be quiet and blah, 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 blah. And it's like, well, they'll be here longer than you, Buster. So you just wait, you know, you just wait as they grow into the church. And so it doesn't have to be, it's just someone who shows care for your family and is faithful is someone that you want around your family. Yeah.
But we all need a church community. It's great to have community at the, you know, the secular events, whether it's school or sports or whatever, but we need people that we know, you know, at our church.
Yeah, for sure. So, so in addition to those elements and the sacramental, they're going to have some parent classes for you and they're going to give you a little workbook. You might have to make a First Communion banner, or I don't know why arts and crafts is such an important part of sacramental formation in our world today, but thank you, our Sunday visitor in Benzinger, for creating such fun arts and crafts for us to do with our children. which is fine. But it fosters an active action while you're talking about the faithful thing. So it's good.
But yeah, and on that note, with regards to the kids' classes and the classes that are meant for your kid and the classes that are meant for you, find a way to make those interesting. Find a way to make those, I don't know how you do it, but find a way to make them exciting and fun and interesting, and pay attention and actually invest, you know, in those things. Because it'll be so much more worth it. And
don't be a Bartlett. That's what he's saying, is don't be a Bartlett.
No, like, I mean,
Lon's not getting mowed today because I got this first communion parent class with you, kid. And then my kid's like, I'm ashamed that I'm receiving first communion. Like, don't do that. You know what I mean? Be excited. Let's go. This is going to be awesome. This is going to be neat. This is going to be fun.
Yeah. But even internally, and sometimes these classes suck, you know, sometimes they're just the worst, you know, and I get it, you know, we get it. But like, try to have the best attitude you can, you know, while you're there, because your kid's watching, you know, your kid's paying attention. And if you feel like it's not sufficient, if you feel like you need more, there are resources out there to take it home and say, hey, you know, they talked about this a little bit, you know, today, but I really want to dive in. I want to, you know, talk to you a little bit more about it. And so look for those resources. Chris, you may have like a place to send people like to gain more information about those things, help take it home.
Right.
But, if it's that bad, do something about it.
Right. But there's something about making that process special. And so if there is a first Holy Communion day of reflection where it's like a 3-hour retreat for the parent and the kid, like, take them out to ice cream or Sonic afterwards and say, hey, what did you think about this? I just wanted to celebrate you on your journey, your process. This is so exciting. You get to receive Jesus and you reemphasize the big points. And the kid's like, yeah, but that was so boring. I didn't enjoy it. It's like, yeah, but you're going to enjoy receiving First Holy Communion. This is going to be awesome. This is exciting. This is a day that's special because God and you are going to have a really special day that day. And that's worth celebrating. And so to fast forward to it is we need to build the child up to a big, important day. And then Second Holy Communion gets celebrated as well. Third Holy Communion, like the next Sunday that they receive and the next Sunday they receive. But on their first one, on the day of their sacrament, whether it be baptism or whether it be confirmation, even confession, we take our kids out to get some ice cream after their first reconciliation. Because that's intimidating. Like, go tell the priest all the bad things that you've done and receive God's love from it. I know a number of kids that have ended up crying because they're so, just from the anxiety of being like, I have to share that I was mean to my brother to some guy and I don't want to. They feel like they're getting in trouble when actually they're getting out of trouble. That's the beauty of that sacrament, right? And so have a big party, a big celebration, but then when they start living their sacrament again and again and again, celebrate that along the way as well.
Absolutely. Cool. What's the next step?
Great. The next step is everything that takes place at home influences the sacramental process. And so when you're at the dinner table, talk about how excited you are. When you're at the dinner table, talk about how the dinner table where people gather and break bread together is similar to the altar. You know, try and find the connections between what's happening in the church and what's happening in the home life and make those connections, especially for your child as they prepare for a sacrament. Now, if this is infant baptism, you're good to go. I mean, there's not, you know, you and your wife pray that you can raise this child and that they get into heaven, that they always know you pray for your child, but you should be praying for your child all the way through. But if they're older, you should be praying with your child as well. And that's a really cool, simple process.
If infant baptism is what brought you back to the church, there may be some things that you want to like start to learn about with regards to the faith. How do we make our home more Catholic? Like, how do we start to incorporate, you know, traditionally Catholic things into our life? I mean, I said my first rosary when I was 22 years old. You know, my kids have all said like multiple rosaries already because I incorporated that into like our family life at different times.
Right.
And so if you're trying to figure out like, what do we add into our family life? Chris, we have a lot of resources, you know, at Ablaze Families.
Yes.
Right? That they can start to like get some ideas of what to incorporate. Like where do they go? What's the website?
Yeah. So the main place to look is actually Instagram. You just look for Ablaze Families on Instagram. Or you can go ablaze.us/ablazefamilies. And that's simple. So we have a monthly activity calendar. There's different ways. Every feast day, every saint day, there's something to do to be able to incorporate Catholic into regular daily life.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that builds up what I call a sacramental worldview. And the sacramental worldview is the idea that in the sacraments, God connects with his people. But if we know that that happens, that means that in everyday life, God connects with his people as well. So what are some of the God sightings? That's a VBS term we used. What are some of the God sightings that we find day to day? So how is God active in your life today? Or how can we invite God into your day this day? And that's where family prayer really comes into play. So
good. All right. Next step.
Cool. Next step is continue to live the sacraments. Once your child received the sacrament, continue to live the sacrament. What does that mean for a baptism, right? That means that you take your child to Mass, you form them in the faith, right? You talk about the different sacramental graces that are received. You'll learn about these graces that are specific to the sacrament and then make demands on those graces. God, I need courage, and I received the gifts of the Holy Spirit at baptism, and they were deepened at confirmation, and I need courage right now. This is going to be hard, so I'm going to make a withdrawal on that sacrament. Like, we need to be bold in regards to that. First Holy Communion, it means going to Mass and receiving communion, and then after you receive communion, having that sacred time where you're praying. And just ask your child, how did God speak to you during after you received him in the Eucharist today? And your child might be like, oh, I don't know. I just was looking at the way the light was bouncing off the stained glass. Okay, great. But then your child all of a sudden hears in that question, God speaks to me. God speaks to me. How did God speak to you? You're teaching your child that God speaks to you. So the practice of the faith. And then for confirmation, one of the effects of confirmation is that they become living witnesses. And so how are they sharing their faith? It's no longer about just how are they growing in their faith, but now it's how are they sharing in their faith. And sometimes that means finding and providing opportunities for your child to serve, camps for your child to go to, deeper things. But sometimes it means like, hey, before your volleyball game, why not say a prayer?
Yeah.
Okay, I will. And then if they're bold enough, why not invite the other Christians to say a prayer with you before your volleyball game? And they're starting to be a living witness. This is as simple as like in high school, I remember, and I went to a Catholic high school, making the sign of the cross and blessing my food before I ate was actually something that was rather scandalous. People would be like, what are you even doing? As like trying to be a faithful Catholic, you know, or whatever. So training your child up in those ways and then making the demands on sacramental grace. How are they going to live their sacrament? It's not just about receiving. It's also about living their sacrament.
Awesome.
And then cheer them on as they get to heaven. That's the final step. Cheer them on as they get to heaven. And to be honest, cheer them on as they help get you to heaven as well. When you see those sacramental graces alive in your child, you're going to be like, I need to be a better person. I want to live up to be the father that my son or daughter deserves in the sacramental life. And it's amazing.
So. Yeah, I will say it's a lot of fun to, I don't know, increase the Catholicity of my home compared to where it was when I was growing up. And I know that my kids are going to do the same thing, you know, and that's not necessarily anything bad about my dad or my parents or anything like that. Not necessarily anything bad about me, you know, but I love to see, you know, I don't know, Catholicism become like, I don't know, more ingrained and more cultural, you know, in the Rice family.
Amen.
You know, and it's great to see, and you'll love it too, you know, as you lean in, you know, and start doing these kinds of things. You'll be proud that your family is closer to the church, is closer to God, you know, through that.
And then swag, like Catholic swag, when they receive a sacrament, people are going to be like, can we get them a gift? You find them Catholic swag. They don't have a crucifix in their room, get them a crucifix. They don't have a nice rosary, get them a nice rosary. They don't have a Bible that's age appropriate for them, get them that. Yep. They want to have more fun things. Great. Go to Tiny Saints. And get them little saints of whatever their confirmation saint is or different things like that. Just have fun inviting people to get Catholic swag into their life. Matt's wearing a t-shirt right now that says whatever God wants. Like, that's a Catholic t-shirt. Get them a Catholic shirt. Well, what do we do? Just let them find out and discover it on their own. But Catholic swag is such an amazing thing. When we're excited about things, we get them stuff. We buy stuff as Americans to be able to reflect those things that we're excited about. We should be excited about the faith, so we should be buying them Catholic swag. So there you go. Cool. All right. God bless you guys. We're going to close in a prayer. And this is just going to be a prayer in general for all those who are preparing sacraments. So fathers, join with me now in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus, we love you and we thank you so much for the gift of your church and her sacraments. We ask that you would bless us as we seek to just steward a sacramental worldview in our children. And we pray for all those who are receiving sacraments this year, especially any children in our own family. We love you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen.
Y'all have a great week. God bless.
Thank you, guys.